1-800-465-8770. If you want to join the conversation this hour, send me a text this hour of the Jason Rancho, brought to you by You Build It. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Happening now.
So a plane has crash landed, as you just heard there in the traffic report. A plane has crash landed in the parking lot of a Park City in the South Hill Puyallup area. Specifically happened on sort of Meridian and 156th Street. The Washington State Patrol said a pilot was taken to the hospital just as a precautionary measure, and that they do not yet know how serious the pilot's injuries are or even what caused the plane to come down. Now, beyond that, we don't yet have any information coming from the Washington State Patrol. There are just scant reports. It sounds like this was an emergency landing in a parking lot, but no one was thankfully killed as far as we know. And other than the pilot, who they're saying has just been taken to the hospital as a precautionary measure, that sounds like the pilot is going to be okay. There is obviously significant damage to the actual plane. It's a very small plane. And we do know that at least one car was also involved in this, hit by the plane as it crash landed. But other than that, we don't have any information. Obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so there's probably not a lot of people going to the Party City store in the Puyallup South Hill area, which means the parking lot was not particularly full. And just looking at some of the photos here, unless they move some of the cars out of the parking lot, not a jam-packed parking lot, at least from the perspective of these photos. So as we get more information, of course, we'll bring it to you. But again, the breaking news coming in from the Washington State Patrol is that a plane has crash-landed, small plane has crash-landed in a parking lot of the Park City in the South Hill Puyallup area. There's one potential injury in the pilot, who has been taken to the hospital for precautionary reasons. So again, that indicates, it seems like the pilot is going to be okay. So obviously, if we have any updates to that, we will bring that to you. Let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So ACB, Amy Coney Barrett, is going to be the next Supreme Court justice. That is a significant win for conservatives. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it at all. She is going to, we believe, rule in a similar way, because she has a similar judicial philosophy as Antonin Scalia and Clarence Thomas. She is an originalist. And that's, in theory, what even Democrats should want, because an originalist is there not to create policy, but to simply call things constitutional or unconstitutional, regardless of whether or not her personal beliefs line up with whatever law is in front of them. But because she is a conservative, folks on the left are concerned, in part because they believe she's going to be an activist judge, and there's no reason for us to believe that based on what we've seen this week, at least. But also because I think the implication here is a lot of activists in the community and politicians realize that their laws are no longer being bound by the Constitution, but their ideology. And folks on the right do this too. There's no doubt about it. Politicians don't always consider the Constitution when they're coming up with their laws. The ones who are the ideologues, the hardcore, either progressives or conservative lawmakers, they have a tendency to have blinders on. They have blinders on. And so either they don't see the politics involved in their law, or they choose to ignore it. Kim Welly is a law professor over at the University of Baltimore. She was called as a witness to testify against Amy Coney Barrett. She was called by the Democrats. She said this.
She is replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who single-handedly almost, as a lawyer and then on the court, identified a right to protect people based on gender in the United States Constitution. There are lots of things in the Constitution that are vague, that aren't articulated. And Judge Coney Barrett seemed to say, oh, only good judges or only bad judges read into the Constitution. That's just not true. So we're replacing RBG with someone who, you know, studies have shown, and now analysts, law professors have looked at her opinion, said she's pretty far to the right, maybe even further than Justice Scalia. I can't weigh in that personally. But we will see potentially a dissolution of the separation of church and state, that is government involved in religion more. I think we probably will see abortion rights rolled back even more, because I think she could easily decide the basis of Roe versus Wade, which is called substantive due process, is not in the Constitution.
Oh my gosh. Oh no. She might be too conservative. Part of me, as we're all kind of thinking about the car tab fee getting overturned here in Washington State, part of me looks at, if I'm being totally honest, the vindictive side of me says, good. I'm glad people are annoyed on the left. Because there are a lot of people on the right who have been annoyed for a long time because Constitution isn't being followed, whether we're talking about it at a statewide level or if we're talking about nationally, that judges are allowing their personal politics to dictate exactly how they rule on cases. And so now that we have control of the Supreme Court, or we expect to shortly, I'm all in. And, you know, consider me, I guess, a little bit vindictive in that. I acknowledge it. I do. Kamala Harris had her opportunity again to ask some questions of Amy Coney Barrett. Didn't really go. I don't. Oh, gosh.
Do you accept that smoking causes cancer?
I'm not sure exactly where you're going with this, but, you know, the notice that smoking causes...
It's just a question. The question is what it is.
It's a stupid question. That's why she responded the way she did. Do you believe that smoking causes cancer? We know you're trying to set her up for a gotcha moment, and she is just so much smarter than you, Kamala Harris. Amy Coney Barrett is just so much smarter than you.
It's just a question. The question is what it is. You can answer it if you believe yes or no.
Senator Harris, yes, every package of cigarettes warns that smoking causes cancer.
And do you believe that climate change is happening and it's threatening the air we breathe and the water we drink?
Senator, again, I was wondering where you were going with that. You have asked me a series of questions that are completely uncontroversial, like whether COVID-19 is infectious, whether smoking causes cancer, and then trying to analogize that to eliciting an opinion on me that is a very contentious matter, opinion from me that is on a very contentious matter of public debate. And I will not do that. I will not express
her.
A view on a matter of public policy, especially one that is politically controversial, because that's inconsistent with the judicial role, as I have explained.
Thank you, Judge Barrett. And you've made your point clear that you believe it's a debatable point.
Yes, it's literally, all of this is debatable if it's getting to the Supreme Court. Does she not understand that? Kamala Harris is she's so desperate for you to think that she's really, really, really smart. So desperate for you to think that she is clever. She's got that nice little sly smirk on her face, and she does the eye roll because she is just so much smarter than you, and yet she consistently is outsmarted every step of the way. Every step of the way. And this was a perfect illustration of that. Again, I hope her supporters don't tell her how poorly she comes off when she pulls stunts like this. I hope no one says anything at all to her. So she thinks that this is working, that she should continue to do this. Please do. Please do. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation, send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. There are two town halls tonight competing against each other. Some people are mad. We'll tell you why. Don't forget, you can follow me on Instagram under Jason Rantz, JasonRantz. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Media bias.
So there are two town halls tonight instead of a debate, which suggests there should have been a debate tonight. On ABC, you've got Joe Biden. On NBC, you've got Donald Trump. It's happening at the exact same time. And weirdly, liberals are mad at this. I don't think they should be. They should be celebrating this. But of course, they're not. Here's Joy Behar from The View.
It's so insane out there. I mean, you watch TV and you see how insane everybody is.
But she, but she's insane. That's Joy Behar, right?
It takes insane to know insane.
Okay, that's fine. But what about her membrane?
Something about that. It was spoken at one point in like the 90s, so yeah.
It's insane.
Insane in her membrane.
Got no brain. Is that what it is?
I think so.
The ratings will probably go to the stable genius because people prefer to watch a train wreck rather than watch, you know, let's say a course in civics.
Oh, yeah. A course in civics, not a mental fitness train wreck that would most likely happen with Joe Biden.
But that doesn't mean that the ratings will translate to votes. I think that NBC is all in for Trump, as they were with The Apprentice, and the fact that Mark Burnett has still not released many of the tapes from The Apprentice, where he probably said some horrific things.
That the left is mad is making me wonder if there's like some internal memo going around to all the friendly media members that suggests the campaign is much, much, much closer than the polls would have you believe. That, of course, would not surprise me. I don't think that Joe Biden truly has a double-digit lead. I am annoyed by this because less people will, in fact, watch Joe Biden. I understand that these town halls, for the most part, tend to be puff pieces, basically, for the candidate for Joe Biden. He gets the softballs. He answers them. The people in the crowd pretending to be undecided voters or actually longtime Biden supporters. I get that. But even in a scenario like that, Joe Biden has a tendency to say things that make no sense. They're words and they're in English. And maybe if you rearrange them, they would create a coherent sentence and a coherent thought. But generally, they just don't make any sense. It's just words taken out of order because he struggles with his mental fitness. That's not me being mean for the sake of being mean. It's me being honest and observing what everybody else who's being honest about this has observed. The Trump campaign, for some reason, doesn't allow Joe Biden to hurt his own campaign. They take away all of the attention from it. That was a big mistake in the first debate, where Trump was too aggressive, because it took the focus away from Joe Biden. He never had to defend himself because he kept getting a lifeline from Trump. I'm not going to lie and say it doesn't make me smile a little bit that people like Joy Behar are all upset. It does. But this is just unnecessary. Now, the saving grace, of course, in all of this is that you've got Twitter, because I don't think they'll censor the videos that end up coming out showing Joe Biden screwing up. I certainly hope they don't. Anything's possible, of course. You can't post the New York Post story without it getting shut down. We'll see. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at the movies?
Oh my gosh. Tomorrow, you might actually get to be at the movies. Yay! Why are kids in the studio? AMC Theaters plans to reopen 14 locations in Washington State as of tomorrow. That is amazing. Now, unfortunately for you kiddos out there, I don't think there are any children's movies out. I think they're all R-rated. Stop! It's not. I didn't do it. That they're so mad at me all the time. They're going to be open tomorrow in Alderwood,
Have you ever been to Washington before?
Well, because I was just quickly looking at the list of all the places that are open.
And Alderwood.
I didn't mean that.
The first
one. I know it's Alderwood.
Sure.
Well, because look, it's going to be in Alderwood, Keent, the Cascadia Mall. Oh, this one I know. Pacific Place in Seattle. And the Lakewide Mall.
You're so cultured.
Yeah,
I know. Good job, Jason.
I speak words. So Alderwood, Kent, Cascade Mall, Pacific Place, Lakewood are among the places that are supposed to be open as of tomorrow. This is going to be essentially a test for AMC to see whether or not, even if they open, people will in fact show up. And they say after that test, they'll look at the data, and if it gives it, if it was a good enough open, a good enough launch, they will then open 500 more theaters all across the country. Now, I'm looking right now at the AMC Pacific Place just to see which movies are out. None of these are, they're new-ish, I suppose. Tenet is still in theaters that I want to see. The Broken Hearts Gallery kind of looks all right. The New Mutants, I heard, was the worst movie ever made. I am desperate to go to a movie, but I don't know if I want to go yet. Because I think a lot of people are desperate to go back to the movies, including people who are probably sick right now and coughing. And they're all like, I don't care, I'm going to go. Because why would I be nervous about going to a movie theater right now? Do you remember my traumatic experience with an illness?
With the swine flu?
Yep. I'm certain I got the swine flu from specifically AMC Pacific Place in Seattle. Because after I went to a movie, I want to say it was like 2 days later, I got the swine flu.
Yeah, it's kind of rough to bounce back from.
Right? And so I'm a little bit nervous. Now, I don't know if the bad luck would follow me if I went to the Alderwood Cascadia Mall to see a movie, but I'm a little nervous.
And would it really be worth it for any of these movies? I mean, you know.
Tenet.
If the new Batman was coming out with Robert Pattinson, I would understand. Yeah. Sit next to somebody who is tested positive for that. But
now, the good news, you're not sitting directly next to people. There are going to be spaces in between all of the seats, with the exception, of course, if you're going with your own family, then you can sit together. They are going to have limited capacity. They're going to do the cleanings in between each showing, which I hope is better than the cleanings they normally do between each showing, because I don't think I've ever been to a theater in which my shoes didn't stick to the bottom of the floor due to spilled soda.
Yeah, that's on purpose. That's part of the experience.
So you can't leave?
Yeah, they probably spray it with cola right in between showings instead of mopping.
Maybe that's what that will kill the COVID.
It's just a spray bottle of cola.
Regal had just said that they're temporarily closing all of their locations in the country due to, mandates in certain states and cities like New York, where you can't actually go to the theaters, but also because there's just not a lot of movies out right now. Like, the only new movie from last week was The War with Grandpa. Don't see that. Sounds awful. Go see Tenet. Maybe I'll see you there.
If there's any, like, local theater owners who want to make a few bucks, I will rent out to play FIFA for, like, a day. Can I do that? I'm social distance.
I'd
just be by myself. I need a good Wi-Fi connection, though.
You should see the movie Two Hearts, which it's not spelled T-W-O, but just the number two, which is never a good sign.
No.
What name a movie that has a number in it at the start? Because I can... There's none...
2012.
2012 was
remember
a bad movie.
It was horrible.
1917 was good. That was
there you go.
One of my favorites. Two Hearts is, for two couples, the future unfolds in different decades and different places, but a hidden connection will bring them together in a way no one could have predicted.
That's the title?
I predict it. They're gonna
That's
be,
the title?
Well, no, that was the synopsis. No. The title is Two Hearts.
Oh, I thought that was the entire... Like, it was two hearts, colon, and then all of that you just read.
Nope.
I'd be very impressed if that was
the
title.
I'm
going
to see Two Hearts at the Alderwood Mall.
Pull up that GPS. You're going to need directions to Alderwood.
You're listening to the Jason Rancher. Tim Eyman stops by when we come back. Welcome back to the Jason Casey Durant Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. I-976, the $30 car tab measure that 53% of the state supported and approved, has been overturned by the state Supreme Court. Joining me on the line is the sponsor of that initiative, Tim Eyman. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jason.
So, first, big picture. Obviously, you disagree with the decision the Supreme Court made. Tell us why.
Well, I mean, even Judge Ferguson, a King County judge appointed by Jay Inslee, said, eventually ruled that the initiative was constitutional, that the voters knew what they were voting on, knew that the initiative had everything to do with lowering our car tabs and the cost of owning a vehicle. Even this King County judge could figure it out. We have nine justices on the Supreme Court that are to the left of a King County appointed, King County judge appointed by Jay Inslee. It is beyond maddening. And I think you said something along the lines of the most partisan ruling you've ever seen. Can you imagine if this was a liberal initiative, let's say on gun control, and it had 20 things on it, they wouldn't have a problem. But this initiative, just lowering vehicle tabs, they found a way to say that the voters were confused by this one. Nobody was confused at all.
Yeah, it seems absolutely ridiculous to claim any sort of confusion, especially when you look at the amount of money that was put into trying to defeat 976.
It's a really good point. They had $5 million on the other side to educate voters on all the reasons why they should vote no. You had the media, much of it on print and in TV. They were totally on the other side trying to convince people to vote no. Yet 59% of voters outside of King County voted for it, nearly 60%. Some counties went as high as 72% of the vote. Even non-Seattle King County, the area in King County outside of Seattle, 53% in favor of the initiative. Everyone was for the initiative, but there's no way anybody with a straight face can say that the voters just didn't understand what they were voting on.
So let's talk about the reaction from Attorney General Bob Ferguson, who put out a statement congratulating his team for working so hard, but the only reason that you guys lost was because of Tim Eyman. So he's not taking any responsibility, even though one of the reasons why the Supreme Court ended up overturning the will of the people is they said that the initiative title was poorly crafted or unconstitutionally crafted. Who created the title?
Bob Ferguson, the Attorney General, it's his job, his office, their job is to describe ballot measures. They do that all the time. It just so happens that this particular Attorney General, if it's a liberal initiative, he will describe it in flowery terms. When it comes to a conservative initiative, it is the most partisan office I've ever seen. Even under Gregoire, they would play it straight. Under Ferguson, anything he could do to undermine an initiative, he will do it if it's conservative. But what was even worse is that after the initiative passed, Senator Steve O'Bannon sent him a letter saying, you need to recuse and name outside counsel because your office is defending this sound transit tax in a different case. You're clearly conflicted, also trying to take me out of politics. You need to recuse yourself. He refused to do it. We said before we had this judge, we said before we get our judge in there, you should move it out of King County. He refused to do that. We said you should affidavit this judge. It's a Jay Inslee appointee. Refused to do it. When he lost in the injunction, we said before you appeal it, you need to do a motion for reconsideration. He refused to do it. He's been sabotaging this initiative since day one of the case. He could have stepped aside. He didn't. It was so that he could undermine it from the inside.
Yeah, and what's remarkable, just to make your point a little bit more clear, is that, or at least using an actual quote, because you point out that in this case, the way he talks about 976 is just all negative. It's all about you and how wrong you've been. But when 1639 was challenged by pro-gun groups, and this, of course, was the virulently anti-gun initiative that was passed by the people, he put out a statement after the lawsuit, the NRA continues to challenge voter-approved common-sense gun reforms, and they continue to lose. I will not allow the NRA to undermine the will of the voters. this does just that, which is undermine the will of the voters. And by the way, 1639 very clearly had more than one subject a part of that initiative, and very clearly did not even include the full text of the initiative when they were going through the petition process. The state Supreme Court refused to toss that.
Absolutely. There is no doubt that Bob Ferguson has two sets of rules. If it's a conservative initiative, he'll tilt one way and do everything he can to undermine it. When it's a liberal initiative, he'll pull out all the stops. And he frankly sounds like Jay Inslee blaming everything on Trump, is that somehow he's this helpless, innocent bystander. Yeah. It's his job to describe ballot measures. That's their job to do that. He just so happens to do everything he can to undermine any conservative initiative, but when it's a liberal initiative, I mean, it's apple pie, and the descriptions are absolutely flowery. And what I'm struck by, and I got to throw this out, is that we spent $642,581 paying his team to lose.
Yeah.
He gets paid $167,000 a year. Noah Purcell gets $157,000. Alan Copsey, the most incompetent member of the Attorney General's office that they assigned to the case that didn't even know what Section 12 of the initiative did, got paid $131,000. We were sabotaged by people that were getting paid by taxpayers. And if he had just done what Steve O'Bannon told him to do, recuse himself, we actually could have gotten a law firm in there that it could have at least aggressively defended it, and it would at least know what the initiative did. They wouldn't be undermining it every step of the way.
Tim Eyman joining me on the line after a ridiculous ruling by the state Supreme Court throwing out $30 car tab fee. So what's next? Obviously, you say you're still wanting to fight this. The question that I think is a valid one is, can someone else do this that maybe won't get the same kind of response from the left in pushing back against it?
Well, I think the first thing we all need to do is realize that, man, last October when I said I'm not renewing my car tabs, this is a peaceful political protest, do not renew your car tabs. I have for the last year been driving around with expired tabs. I've been pulled over twice, both times with the law enforcement officer. I said, you know, I'm willing to pay 30, just not a penny more. Please use your discretion and give me a warning today. I've gotten two warnings. Same thing with my son. Same thing happened to him. He let the law enforcement officer know it was a peaceful political protest, got two warnings. Dave McMullen, the head of the Pierce County Republican Party, did the same thing. That's something you can do personally. If you're angry, you're frustrated, you're furious with your government that they're not listening to you, that's something that you have the power to do. And if I ever did get a ticket, I would appeal it immediately, and I can guarantee you the ticket will be less than your car tabs are in the Puget Sound region. Second thing we've got to do is it has to all be about Inslee. 21 years ago, Gary Locke called a special session of the legislature the day the court ruled. We can't just sit around and assume that, well, Inslee won't do that, so therefore let's stop there. We need to highlight the fact that 21 years ago, Gary Locke, somebody who was opposed to $30 tabs, told people to vote no, respected the will of the people enough to call a special session. The third thing you can obviously do is we can do another initiative. Of course we can do it. But why do you do initiatives? You do it to prove the voters are on your side. We've done that three times. There's no doubt the voters want this policy. I think the part that just makes my head explode is that three times the voters have repealed this dishonest, artificially inflated vehicle valuation system, yet it's still in effect.
Yeah. And the only thing I'll add to that is make sure when you guys vote, I know a lot of folks are pointing to Lauren Culp. It's not just about Lauren Culp. It's about Matt Larkin, who is running for Attorney General. He can defeat Bob Ferguson if people are upset about this. And then, of course, on top of that, you've mentioned him, Steve O'Bannon. We should also be backing him if you live in his district over in University Place, because right now he's trailing a little bit behind his progressive Seattleite opponent. So you guys got to make sure you go ahead and vote. Tim Eyman, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. And, you know, we will get this policy. I've fought for it for 22 years. I'll fight for it for another 22. They're lower than they used to be, so we are making progress, but we're not going to stop until it's 30.
There you go. Tim Eyman, thank you so much. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show, live on this Thursday afternoon. the SPD said they arrested a person they suspect set fire to a police vehicle while an officer was still inside. The man has been arrested. It happened around 1:30 this afternoon in South Lake Union, not far from Denny Park, which we've talked about on the show for a while. I actually live nearby, and it has become overrun with homeless individuals. And the question now becomes, did that maybe have something to do with what happened today? Joining me on the line is the founder and chair of Friends of Denny Park, Tim Gatos. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jason.
What can you tell us about what happened today?
Well, I didn't see it firsthand. I got there just a few minutes after it happened. Certainly been talking to many of the folks there around the park, some of the police officers, detectives, as well as the Compass House residents, which was in the alley of where that police officer car got destroyed there. So there's certainly a lot going on there. We've seen a lot of deterioration of the neighborhood and of the park for the last few months. And so the question was, what does this have to do with it? And we did hear from a detective who thought that there was a direct connection with the encampment that is there. And so we're certainly waiting on more information on that.
And, just on the surface, not that I guess we want to prejudge, but when you hear a story of a man brandishing a flaming piece of lumber, that's generally not the way traditionally activists in this community have attacked police officers. But certainly we'll wait to get this information confirmed as to who was actually responsible. If you could, just take us through the general direction that not just Denny Park has taken, but the general neighborhood around Denny Park.
Yeah, we've seen just a real condition just go downhill. We started Friends of Denny Park about 3.5-4 years ago. Denny Park, which we know is the city's first park, most historic park, it's where, ironically enough, the City of Seattle Park headquarters sit in Denny Park. And our group, which is an amazing group of all volunteers, brought new life to Seattle's oldest park. And we were able to really turn that park around and see it be a flourishing park for the neighborhood. As for a few decades, it really was a tough park. No one wanted to be there. Very dark, a lot of criminal activity. But for the last 2 or 3 years, that completely turned around. And we've seen just a flourishing effect take place. But of course, the last few months, that's really changed. We've seen a lot of criminal activity, drugs take place in the park. I'm someone who has, for years, I've worked in social service agencies, worked at Union Gospel Mission, helped start a social service provider called REST. And so I've got just an absolutely huge heart for folks who are struggling, who are in need. But the city's response right now is, I believe, a poor response in how we take care of people in our city. And the citizens in the neighborhood there are just crying out to us, urging us, can you please help us? Can you please do something? I mean, for instance, Jason, Compass House, which is transitional housing for those who have just transitioned out of homelessness, I talked to about 15 of those residents today, and they are so concerned for their safety that they no longer go into the park. They have their things stolen regularly, their cars broken into on a nightly basis, and they say the criminal activity in the last few months has skyrocketed around that neighborhood in Denny Park, and they firmly believe that this is a direct result of the deterioration of that neighborhood. In fact, those residents of Compass House are going to be writing a letter urging the city to please do something to help them.
Just joining me, I'm talking with Tim Gatos. He's the founder and chair of Friends of Denny Park. Just nearby earlier today, a man with a flaming piece of lumber set fire to a police vehicle while an officer was still inside. The officer is going to be okay, though. The officer was taken to the hospital, and this individual has been arrested. It comes at a time where, as Tim just said, it's just been deteriorating, this particular park, because of the homelessness crisis that's going unaddressed. And as you know, Tim, the city decided to completely get rid of the navigation team. This is a specialized unit within the SPD that was responsible for cleaning up a lot of these encampments and trying to connect people with services. Based on some of the work you've done in the past, do you believe that we need to do a little bit more of a carrot and stick approach, where not only do you keep a navigation team, but you also show some consequences for people who choose not to get the help that we're offering, just to sort of incentivize it a bit?
Well, I think, you know, of the navigation team, it's really confounding why we would dissolve that without a plan in place. And that's really what happened. I love this city. Man, I was born and raised here, and I'm just really confused on why we would do something so significant without a proper plan in place. And now we're seeing the results, the fruit of that, not only in Denny Park, but we're seeing it in city parks across the city.
The whole area has been overrun with an explosion of homelessness. But let me push back a little bit on one point. Are you don't understand why the city did this without a plan, or are you still shocked that, because this is not something that happened this one. This is not an anomaly when it comes to homelessness. It kind of feels like this is what the city generally does, or at least this council has done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that I'm confounded on how the council could dissolve that and make that plan without, you know, a plan in place to say, here's what we're going to do. Instead, we're seeing the results of that decision. So I'm just saying, I don't know how that was put into motion, but I don't think it was the right thing to do.
Last question for you. We've only got about a minute left. Do you have confidence in this council or this mayor to address this growing issue?
Well, I'm an optimist at heart, so I certainly I want to say yes, Jason, and I want to work with the mayor's office. I want to work with the city council. The answers we're getting right now aren't promising, but when we see more and more events like this take place, I think we're going to see these. I think we're going to see more occurrences like this, and I think unless something is done positive to get people the help that they need, to get them the treatment and the services they need, and not to allow unauthorized encampments across our whole city, I think we're going to continue to see events like this take place, which is devastating. I mean, it really is tragic for not only the people who are struggling, but it really is tragic for the neighbors and the residences who are just not safe any longer.
Yeah, it is a tragedy on so many levels, not just for the communities dealing with this, but of course for the people who are living out on the streets for all of this, not actually getting the help that they so desperately need. Again, we've been talking with the founder and chair of Friends of Denny Park out in Seattle, Tim Gatos. Thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Jason.
Absolutely. You've been listening to The Jason Rancho. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. We've got the breaking news on staffing dropping in the next hour or so. Make sure you check out KTTH.com. We will see you tomorrow. Up next, Ben Shapiro.